Lisa, an ultra runner based in Sydney. I recently attended Isabel's perimenopause and menopause workshop, and oh my goodness, what a hugely valuable workshop to attend. I really appreciated the amount of effort Isabel goes to in researching the topics that she presents on, and she just shared such an amazing amount of information, and there was a really interactive component to the workshop which I found really valuable as well. I have attended a number of Isabel's workshops now, and each one is always very worthwhile in attending, and you always come away with lots of really good information.
Hello and welcome back.
Yes,
to the Peak Endurance Podcast.
We're back.
And we've already forgotten how not to talk over each other.
Yes, we've had a bit of a break, a bit of a hiatus.
Bit of a lull.
Yep.
Pause.
Refresh your batteries.
Yes.
And now we're back.
Yes, we needed a break just because what's going on in our lives.
Life was busy. We were struggling to find the time and the energy and
It was more the energy,
the motivation,
with everything that was going on. Because as everyone knows, you know, like, yes, we run, and as everyone knows from themselves, you run, you do your work, but there's always things going on in your life that need to also be taken care of, it because life is important.
It is.
Yep. It is. And anyway, so we're back because we've had many requests.
Yes, we have. We've been meeting
Sarah has said, please bring the podcast back on. So, Sarah, this is for you, this episode.
And we met a guy just yesterday.
Nick Gregory said he enjoyed the podcast.
Nick Gregory? When?
That was when we were running on the trails.
Oh, that was his name, was it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I apologise. I didn't hear his name. So, hello, Nick.
Nick and I had already spoken. I used to coach him.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Right. Oh, hello, Nick.
Nick and I were continuing our discussion.
Right.
Anyway, so hi, Nick. And, you know, there's been lots of other people that say, you know, we love the podcast, and we're sort of like, oh, we're not really doing it anymore. Because we had kind of thought we wouldn't do it at all anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, people had, because we kind of thought no one was listening.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. So, you know, but people have been saying stuff. So, and we don't just listen because we want the accolades from people. But
no.
There's no point in doing it if nobody's listening. Like,
that's
and
right.
That's kind of what we thought. Like, we're putting all this time and effort. And
if we're just entertaining ourselves, well, we can do that without recording it.
We can, yes. Well, let's not record that.
Your mind is always in the gutter.
It is. So anyway, here we are. We're wearing our Runtail Volga.
Yes.
Medals.
Yep.
As
just,
you do.
Just from yesterday.
Yes.
We spent the day out in
Terrebonne.
Yeah, in the South Gippsland region, around a town called Balook, I think, in the Terrebonne National Park. Beautiful area, quite wet.
Oh my god, so beautiful. Very
beautiful area. Just a nice almost pristine. I mean, there's logging going on in the area.
But there's not, like, here in the Dandies, there's all, you know, there's blackberries and there's my personal
ragwort.
Ragwort, which I hate. If that's the one with the yellow flowers and everyone's like, oh, it's so pretty. Yeah, it's terrible. It's destroying native flora. So,
and it seems to be spreading more than blackberries.
It's spreading terribly because it gets stuck on your clothing, the dust from the, you know, if you bang against it,
because it's a flowering plant.
Yeah, the dust from it, like, whereas blackberries, it's got to be like a bird dropping the seeds or, you know, whatever, humans, when they defecate. But with that, it's just, you know, and it passes along, and that's why people moving through the area will make it worse. But no ragwort, very little blackberries, and it's sort of more to a contained area. It was just, oh my god, stunning.
Yeah,
the ferns and the rich soil, and it was just stunning. Just
really nice, you know, trails that kind of canopy over the top.
Mm.
So it was just a really nice.
Oh, this bit's like, you know, running up to Donna, or this bit's like running at the back of Sherbrooke. One bit I even said to Ron, this bit's like the Odenwald, like in Germany, you know, and it was just amazing, the diversity and the beauty of it. I'm rabbiting on because, you know, I've done a lot of trail running and mountain biking. I was mountain biking from 19, and I'm trying. So I feel kind of like I've done all the trails, but I have never, ever, ever run there. And it is, I am just like, oh my God, I wish it wasn't a 2 hour driveway. Although that's probably what makes it more special. If, like, the Dandies, I run in the Dandies and I've mountain biked them, and I'm just like so bored. But this, oh my God, so beautiful. And yes, muddy. And there were some hills that the tractors, diggers, whatever had been on, so it was chewed up to the bejesus. One point, Ron's sliding backwards. I'm having to push him on his arms to get him up the hill.
My legs were moving forward, but my body was moving backwards down the hill.
It and was, I was freaking hilarious. And for some reason, I had traction, so I'm pushing him. And that was us getting up the hills, because no, we didn't bring our poles.
We didn't.
Because the elevation profile.
We looked at the elevation profile and thought, no, you know, that's manageable.
And
we're
only doing it for fun. We're not racing for sheep stations.
So we left our poles at home, but halfway up that muddy hill, we were both saying, I wish we'd brought our poles.
And not for the hills, but for the slime and mud.
Just to be able to get traction and drag ourselves up.
And oh my God, the shoes were like so heavy. And so even when you could run after, you were like, you know, I can't believe like the winners did it so fast. I'm like, seriously, do not get that because that I was saying that during the race run, this is a slow course this year. I mean, it's the first year they've done it, I think, as Run Terrebonne. But no matter what happens, this will be a slow course because it won't always be that muddy and it won't always be dug up by machinery. But I also said to you, that didn't detract from the race. Like normally, if you get that in a race, it's like, oh, this is shit. No, the race is ruined. But it was just part of it.
After we got off that, we ran through an area.
Oh, my God,
it was
so beautiful.
It was so beautiful, and we'd completely forgotten about the muddy hill.
Single track, and you felt like I said to Ron, we need to look out for snipers. I felt like I was in the rainforest in Vietnam.
although I did say it's a bit of a race for short people because there was a lot of ducking.
Because Ron was ducking all the time.
Tree ferns, you know, grow out and over the
But it wasn't
trail.
Just the tree ferns. There were logs sort of going over the thing and beautiful, but, you know.
And then we caught up with Stuart momentarily, and he's about 6 inches taller than I am. And God. I said to him, geez, you must be doing an awful lot of ducking if I am.
So poor Stu got lost. He missed
you. He missed a turn. And so we caught him.
Caught us.
Well, he came up behind us at the aid station. We're like, hang on a minute, weren't you in front of us? He goes, oh, I was until I took a wrong turn.
Anyway, he only added about a K. And then I just had like really good fun. Like it was beautiful. I mean, as with anything, you know, we haven't done much, to be fair, anything over 25K since February.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's, you know, mid-April. So we weren't really conditioned for it because I've just had a mental funk where I can't kind of go over 25K at the moment. And I needed this as the rust buster to get me over that level because I've just been in a bit of a funk with my running, just with the health issues I've been having and being scared about doing long and, you know. But this helped because I was fine, didn't have any dizziness or any kind of meniere's thing, you know, so that sort of gave me some confidence back. But, you know, it was tough once we got over about 28
guys.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, this is long. And a lot of it was runnable.
Yeah, a lot of it was runnable. But also there were some, you know, the muddy sections we found. Once we got up to the top of that muddy hill, we'd really worked our hamstrings and our glutes just trying to.
And my hips were sore. Yeah. And my lower back was sore.
So we were kind of using muscles we weren't used to using.
No, and there's no way you can kind of train that except for training on that kind of terrain.
And no one wants to train that. You want to save that sort of stuff till race
time. Yeah, yeah.
So.
They're worried about leeches, but we used the Bushmans, which I've had for years. I didn't know you could use it against leeches. And normally I'm the leech magnet, and you got one.
I got a leech bite on my foot, so it must have crawled inside my shoe, which I didn't spray.
See, because I did was I sprayed all around the top of my socks and sort of just inside my socks, because I know what leeches love to get into your shoes.
Yeah.
So that might have helped me. So that's a tip if you're putting on the Bushmans. But geez, there was a funky smell at the start of the race with everyone wearing.
Oh, yeah. The Bushmans was very
strong. Oh, my God. That was strong. Kind of cool. But, yeah, shout out to Megan and Matt for putting on an awesome, awesome race. I mean, it was great.
Yep.
beautiful setting. There was a pizza van.
There was.
Everyone was getting pizza at the end. We had got two pizzas because one
because
thing
I
we're
was
very, very
starving,
hungry.
and I knew half a pizza wouldn't cut it for me.
Yeah, so we had
So,
pizza and it was just
yep.
so yum to have pizza. And it's so good to really eat something. And sure, pizza's, you know, not exactly health food, but it's, you know, you're getting some carbs, some protein, some,
That's right,
you
and
know, like seriously,
you
if
know,
you,
we burn a lot of calories while we're out
know,
there,
and
so.
life is to be enjoyed as well. It's not all, I mean, I'm all for good, healthy nutrition, don't get me wrong, but it's also important to just, you know, enjoy some yummy food
Yeah.
occasionally. And everyone was. It was great to see.
Yep.
Like,
That pizza van was
such a
doing a
good idea to
roaring
have a
trade.
pizza van there.
Yep.
So good. And really good pizza too.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't shit pizza. It was good. Like, it wasn't skimpy, you
Yeah.
know, like, oh God, you know, it was actually decent,
Yeah.
you
No,
know.
it
So,
was good stuff.
yes. And so we went down there. We stayed at Welshpool at a friend of mine
Yep.
that I know from teaching days. And she's just moved there 3 weeks ago. So we went
So
and
yeah, so we went
stayed with her and
and
has, you know,
checked out our new digs
that's
and
right. And she fed us up on Spag Bol the night before.
yep.
And we played Uno and had wine. And it was
Yeah.
just, you know, that was just lovely. And Welshpool and all around that area is just
It
beautiful,
is,
isn't
yeah. She took us to Port Welshpool just for a look with because
with the
she's got a
beach
couple
and
of
that.
dogs. So we took the dogs for a walk to the beach.
And then we went to the Agnes Falls. Oh,
Yeah.
golly, go to the Agnes Falls, people.
Yeah, it's
Who
a
knew
little,
that hidden gem?
yeah, it's gonna say it's a hidden gem. You can't see anything until you pull into the car park and
And
then
even then, well, you
yeah.
can't see anything in the car park, but
No,
you
but you wouldn't even know it's there
no.
until you get into the
And
car
you
park.
only
So
walk, you know, 400 meters, and it's like, holy moly, like this gorge. Like I was saying to Carolyn, this is better than Mossman Gorge.
yeah, that's right, yeah.
Like, seriously, Mossman Gorge, you blink and you miss the gorge. Whereas
Yeah.
this is a serious gorge.
No,
So look it
it's
up,
good, yep.
go have a look. And it was so peaceful and just
Yeah.
so beautiful.
That
And
area, I mean, us runners, you know, if we go in that area, generally we're heading towards Wilson's Prom. That's
yeah.
you know where all the good running is, but it's worth a while. It would only be a maybe a 20-minute, you know, side trip,
Yeah.
you know, each way. But that area, all through there, Tura, Welshpool, Port Welshpool,
Yeah, it's a big area.
Port Albert. There, yeah, it's a beautiful area through there, so it's well worth a visit.
I mean, to be honest, as I was saying, when I was a kid, we spent a lot of summers going to Foster. Still cannot figure out why.
No, yeah.
But like I said, I'm sure we went to a surf. I don't know. It's, you know, but you know, why go to the Queensland theme parks when you can go to Foster? Like, there's no comparison, clearly. Anyway, so yeah, but as an adult, you have a new appreciation for these sorts of
Yeah,
things, don't
that's
you?
right.
So, oh, if
You do.
only I could tell my parents.
So yeah,
But
that we had a great weekend. And last week we discovered a new area for us, obviously. Other
yes.
people know about it, but we didn't. I'd heard that there was
Well,
running.
I have run there and I have
Yeah.
mountain bike there a lot, but it's been years.
Yeah. So we decided to head over to Bunyip.
Even done an adventure race in that area.
It's a state. It was a state
State park.
forest.
Yep, the place
So
you could take your dog,
yeah, so
keep
not a
your
national
dogs.
park, a state forest. Apparently we attacked the wrong end of it. What we were on was mostly four-wheel drive tracks, which were fine in themselves. You know, we did some hill climbs and stuff like that. But apparently
Better single track, which is
we missed a
what
better
I
single
was
track. We were going the
surprised
wrong
where
direction.
we went,
Yeah.
because I thought we'd go somewhere else where I knew there were single tracks, but I don't know all the
Yeah.
tracks. Anyway, word to the wise, we got to the campground where we were going to start running
Yes.
from, and we pulled out the phones to look at Strava for the map that
Because
Ron
that
had
was the I had
created.
created a route on
Yes.
Strava.
But he hadn't saved it offline, and we're like, oh, there's no mobile
No,
reception.
mobile, so
Oh, we don't know, because we don't know the area. We don't know where to go.
no.
So we had to drive back up the road till we got mobile reception, then save it offline, and then drive all the way
Yes,
back.
so that
So
was
that
an
added a
extra,
half an hour or two. But so take note, when if you're creating a course to go into an area you don't know, just save it offline, because you just don't know. You might not have mobile reception. We just assumed mobile reception everywhere. No, literally zip.
Yeah,
Not
not as
scary.
scary. So yeah, we opened up our maps, waiting for it to load, and then we were like,
I'm like,
oh,
oh shit.
uh-oh. I think we've got
I
to go
said,
that
would
way,
you
but
save this offline? He goes, what?
that's a thing.
Yeah. So
Okay.
anyway,
Yeah.
it's good to know. So now you know, you've learned from our mistake,
Yeah.
which is always better than learning from your
From
own
your own
mistake.
mistake, that's all right.
Anyway, so
So
that's been our last couple of weeks,
yeah.
hasn't it?
Yeah, so our kilometers have been down.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been doing a bit of body fit.
Yeah, mine are roughly down to around 80 Ks a week. Isabel's down to around 100-ish.
Yeah.
But like she says, still work. We're still going to the gym twice a week. And
I'm going to body fit.
And then, yeah, Isabel's...
3 times a week. I'm going to yoga twice a week.
Yeah, so her actual... Her exercise time has gone up, but her running has gone down.
Not fully, but yes. Yeah.
So,
but I'm just, it's just nice to actually have some time on a Saturday. We were kind of spending all Saturday, like getting home at 3 or something.
Yeah.
And it was getting exhausting. It's okay to do that for a few weeks. And admittedly, you know, I had been training for Barclay, so that was why. But then, you know, and normally it's fine. I am finding that it is kind of almost too much free time on a Saturday and Sunday. But you know, after I've been doing this for many, 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 many years. And I think because of COVID and all that sort of stuff, and then the 100 challenge, I kind of just didn't stop. Normally I always, always had breaks, full breaks for quite a while. But I've just, you know, because of COVID with no races and you just kept running and running and running. And so you never had a race to recover from. So you just, whatever.
Yeah.
And it just kind of became a habit, which is not good either. And admittedly, I did have a break after Costa Cozzi, but then I was quite sick for 6 months. And I really think, even though I had that surgery December 2022, I really think I'm only getting better now.
But I think, I think though, you know, because you say you had a break, yes, you had 2 or 3 weeks off, but then you went straight back into training.
Well, kind of, but it was horrible. And
then
I didn't
before you were, you know, after 3 months,
it was
you
terrible.
Started your 100th challenge.
That surgery ruined me. I mean, it was great. I'm glad I did it, and blah, blah, blah. I needed to have the surgery, but I really only think I've come kind of good now.
That's right.
It's taken, a year and a half, but that's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, our bodies, we think they're tough and that we can put, and I've, you know, pushed my body so much that once again, that becomes a habit too, to just push through. But, you know, it is only a human body. It's not a machine. And so I'm just kind of having a bit of a downtime from having any goals. Although I have signed up for a multi-day race in Canada, in Revelstoke.
Yep.
And I am doing the full Stoke, which
full
is
Stoke.
3 days of running at 100 Ks over 3 days. And there's a bit of scrambling and a bit of this and that and the other. And it's in British Columbia
in the Rockies.
Yeah.
Is that still the Rockies there?
Yeah. So it's stunning. I was speaking to a friend of mine, Joanna Ford, on Messenger, and she was saying, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. Because I was like, Messenger going, is it worth doing? Blah, blah, blah. Because it's, you know, pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Cost me, what should I say, $1,200 to enter.
And then the accommodation.
And then the accommodation on top of that.
It is.
And then I've got to get a hire car to drive there.
Yeah.
Ron's going, oh, fuck. I didn't know all this. So my credit card is just smashed. But, you know, it's kind of like, well, I'm there. I should just do it. But I did pay the extra for the race insurance just in case.
Yeah, that's probably
worse. You know, it was like $70 extra. But I thought, oh, you just don't know. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose that $1,200. Because I've lost some, like Costa Cozzi, obviously, when I pulled out a week before, they're not going to give me my money back. I mean, I didn't expect it. But, you know, you lose money on that, lost money on the accommodation, lost money on the flights to America when we pulled out a boat. Yeah. So I've lost so much money lately that, anyway. But that's something to look forward to, because we're thinking we'll start doing multi-days.
Yeah.
So we're thinking the GPT, doing the Miler as the multi-day. Yeah.
So we're just looking to change things up a bit.
Yeah.
You
know, I've done so much of this long stuff for so long, and I've always wanted to do multi-days.
Yeah.
That's actually, I've been wanting to do multi-days for years, even before I met you. So it's a good excuse to do some multi-days.
Yeah. Yeah. So that we might even look if we can find something that suits us, maybe fast packing or even bike packing.
Yep. I thought maybe we could try bike packing first because you can carry more stuff. It's not quite so minimalist.
So we're just going to try a few different things and see if anything, you know, takes our fancy. And
yeah,
you know, just, you know, because we want it to be all about enjoying what we're doing.
Yeah. But the good thing about doing races like, say, run Terrabelga is that we go and run places we wouldn't normally run.
That's right.
Because, you know, you don't know the area. And as good as Strava is, you know, you're kind of taking your chances when it's creating a route as well, especially if it's offline. And But, you know, doing a race is a great way to see an area and to know that there's, you know, if you need stuff, there's aid stations, there's EMS, you know, whatever. Yeah. And there's people, you know, and so that's why doing races is good. And like, I don't know the Revelstoke area, so it's good, you know, I can do that. It's like guided tour of the area. So, yes, so that's what we've been doing. That's our update. And look at that time ticking away. We've wasted it all just talking about ourselves.
As usual.
But someone did say to us they like hearing these updates because they like hearing about Australian races, Australian trails and all that, because all the other podcasts on trail running and ultra running and whatnot are about America mainly and some about Europe. So, you know, it's interesting to talk about Australian races.
That's right. And by all means, if you're listening to this and you know of a really nice race in your area or one that you've been to in another area, by all means, drop us a line, let us know, because, you know, we'd be very interested. You know, we do travel a lot.
And we could potentially go and do it.
Yeah, we're more than willing to, you know, drive out of state, maybe not drive to Perth or Western Australia.
I've never been to Western Australia.
No, but we would be willing to travel. So if you've got a race, you know, in your area or that you know of, drop us a line and we'll check it out. And if it suits us and suits our timeline, then we might even, you know, take the trip and check it out.
Yeah. You know, if you want to, you know, have the race that you think is awesome talked about on this pod.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So what we basically wanted to talk about is your running watch. And for us, it's a Garmin. You got a message. Or does that say recovery time?
I've had a lazy day today.
Because we drove home. And we just sat around. Garmin watches, okay, or Coros or whatever it is, Suunto, I don't know, and I don't care, because they're basically, what they're doing is these watches are telling you, you're overreaching, you're doing this, you're strained, God.
Your VO2 is up.
Your VO2 is down, you're peaking, you're not peaking. You know what? It's a watch. That's all it is. Yeah. And it has a mini computer in it that it uses your heart rates based on the wrist base, which is shit and totally unreliable. And it's slightly more reliable if you tighten it so much your hand nearly falls off from lack of blood flow. Then it works a little bit better, but it is still incredibly, incredibly unreliable. And people use that. Oh, right. Well, that's it. Oh, my God. I'm overreaching. Oh, my God. What do I do now? Well, what you do is you go, how do I feel? Do I feel tired? Do I feel shit? Do I feel like I'm overreaching? No. Then I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to learn to listen to your body.
That's right. We know for a fact that, you know, they're great as a guide watches. They tell you some really interesting things. Just, you know, as an example of how inaccurate they can be on certain things, we at Terrabulga, my GPS measured 41.61 kilometers for the race. Isabel's was over a kilometre.
40.45.
Yeah, over a kilometre less than mine. We were speaking to Peter Bignell.
39.65.
Yeah, his was 2 kilometres less than mine. We ran the same course. I didn't take a wrong turn. I spent the whole time on the course, yet my watch recorded an extra 2 kilometres.
And we were running next week.
We literally spent the whole race within sight of one another.
And yet he got a kilometre and a bit more.
Yeah. So
they're not 100% accurate.
They're a great guide, but they're not the gospel.
Yep. And you know the best. Your brain and your mind or whatever, you know, your brain is the best computer there is. Yeah. I mean, other than Skynet, clearly, because they overtook us. Yeah. But your brain is the best computer there is, and it is the only one that has all the data going back from pre-Garmin to how your body reacts to exercise, to weather, to outside influences, to stress, to relaxation, to happiness, to sadness, to whatever. That is the only computer that has all the data. And you need to start. What's happening? It's like people using their Apple iPhone or their phones for maps. Remember back in the day, flicking the mailways and you would kind of memorize and you'd figure out and you'd picture the maps in your mind and you would know where you're going. Now we've lost all that spatial awareness. We just have the phone there on the thing showing us where to go and we have no clue.
That's
It's the
right.
same thing.
And occasionally Google Maps does
Oh my
lead you
God, that's
astray.
off a cliff.
That's right. Or it'll try and take you through a river or,
Yeah, or something. I remember when I was in Canada when I first got to Calgary, I would put into Google and it would send me the most ludicrous places. And I'm like, and it was like, no, it's obviously just shit sometimes. And it's the same with the Garmin. Take it with a grain of salt. Yes, there's some useful information there, but don't say, oh my God, my Garmin said I'm not sleeping enough. How the hell does your Garmin know? Even if you're wearing it to bed fully, like it's just, I don't know. I think you need to. And all these Whoop rings and Oura rings, like learn to listen to your body. This is what they did have done for centuries, is listening to our body. And suddenly in the last 20 years, we've stopped. You really think the machines know better other than Skynet? Sorry, we just watched Terminator again the other
That's right.
night, so it's fresh, fresh in the mind. Do you love those movies? They are just awesome.
Yeah, so don't let your watch tell you
You're feeling
that
shit.
you're feeling shit. You know how you're feeling.
And don't let it freak you out. Oh my God. Like, seriously, have a listen to your body. If you wake up in the morning and you're really feeling shit, don't run. But don't go, oh, how do I feel? I'm shit. Oh, I feel shit. So I'll take that extra hour of sleep. I mean, you've got to be 100% honest, not just,
Because let's face it, if that was the case, I'd take an extra hour a day.
Yeah, I feel too shit to go
That's right.
to work. So, and look, honestly, I would love to sleep in, but when I wake up in the morning and the alarm goes off 10 past five, I'm like, oh Christ, oh, I feel crap. I just go, I know I'm going to feel better in half an hour. I will feel better.
After a coffee.
Yes, because sometimes I think, oh, I'll just sleep in and I'll run it, a bit later. And I think, and I know I'll be glad that I got up earlier because I've got so much to do today. I know I'll be glad if I got my run in early. And inevitably, guess what happens? I am so glad. I think, oh, I was fine. There was absolutely nothing. I just didn't want to wake up and I didn't want to get up. Like, that's just natural not to want to wake up and not want to get up. You've got to distinguish that from, I'm actually exhausted. Other times I have t said I need a sleep in and or I'm just going to take a rest day today, actually. And later we've discussed it and I said it was the right choice.
That's right.
But if I listen to that voice every single day, no,
That's right.
I just wouldn't run.
No.
So you've got to learn to distinguish that voice when it's just being lazy or when it's being smart. But the only way you can learn that is by listening to your body.
Learning to read the signs.
Yeah. And that comes from listening to your body, not your watch. Your watch is not God. Well, whatever. Your brain telling you is not God either. Your watch isn't the boss of you. Okay. You're the boss of you.
That's
You're
right.
not the boss of me.
We don't live our lives around some programmer in, Southern California or wherever Garmin's
Headquarters are, yeah, probably
great.
somewhere out there.
We live
Yeah,
life
someone
now how we
put some
do.
algorithms
That's
in
right.
to determine that shit. Some boffin somewhere putting, oh, this algorithm will work for that. And that'll tell you
And as
about you.
trail runners and trail runners who are often in the hills, we know for a fact that our Garmin watches are geared towards road runners.
Yeah. So it's going to drop your VO2 out.
We can do a 40 to 50 kilometer run with 2,500 meters of climbing, and we know we've worked exceptionally hard, and our watch tells us our VO2's gone down.
Yeah,
They're not geared towards mountain running or even hilly trail running. It's all flat
but
road
even
running.
for road runners,
Heart rate.
take it all with a grain of salt because just do. And so I mean, the real way that they did it, the proper way, if you really want proper data, you do like from that book that we were going to interview the people and it just never happened. Jack Daniels would drive along beside them while they're running.
He would be on the bonnet of the car
Yeah. testing them yeah. for their VO2.
That's right. Yep. Taking blood samples as they're running along
and breathing into this thing, right? So if you really want accurate data when you're out running, get that happening, okay? Because your watch isn't going to give you accurate data.
No.
That is the only thing.
Yep.
Like proper lab testing.
Clinical VO2 tests, yes, they will tell you exactly what your VO2 is.
Yeah.
Your watch just doesn't have the input
data. No, it just doesn't have the capacity for telling you the proper data. Like it gives you a sort of it can give you a ballpark figure.
Yeah.
And that's it. It can't really know if you're overreaching, if you're overtraining, if you're undertraining, if you're peaking, if you're like whatever. Yeah. Listen to your body.
And also, you know, different people, like a watch is a watch is a watch, but different people watches, are different.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, my running heart rate is a lot lower than most other people's running heart rate. When I run, my heart rate doesn't get over much over 140 if I'm just doing a regular run. But other people's will be up around 160.
Well, I'd hope not on an easy run.
Or on a run, like on a, yeah, I'm sure they would.
Not an easy run.
Oh. Anyway, but my point is that people's heart rates are very different.
And also heart rate depends on, you know, if you're dehydrated, if you're tired from bad sleep the night before, if you've just had a bucket load of caffeine, your heart rate will be high. If you're, and if you're fatigued, your heart rate might be suppressed. If you're nervous about something, if you're excited about something, you know, it all changes your heart rate. I've just done some reels about this sort of topic. It all changes your heart rate, so which is going to change the response that you get from your watch. You know, you could have a job interview that day and you go for your run and you're like super stressed, like nervous, and that will affect the data that you're getting.
Yeah.
But it's not your fitness, it's the job interview.
That's right. So, yes. So use your watch. Use it to get the information that you're interested in.
Data,
but don't use it as gospel.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things your watch can tell you that don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
That, you know, don't affect, you know, the way you run, the way you feel.
Back in my day, when I was a runner, when I started running, there were no Garmin watches. No. I just ran. And I based it all on how I felt.
Yep. Quite. When I started running, I would, you know, I would know my area, so I knew rough distances. But what I would quite often do if I did a long run is I would do the run and then I'd drive it as much as I could afterwards. Obviously not on a trail run because you can't do that. But if I was running around the streets, I would drive the streets to see how far I'd run.
I had a wheelie thing that I would wheel over the Melways maps to give me the approximate distances. Couldn't do that on the phone, can you?
No, you can't do that. It ruined the phone.
Well, it shredded the maps. So, you know, that's how I knew approximate distances that I ran. I didn't know what my pace was. I ran to how I felt. So I learnt my body.
Yeah.
You know, I really learned. And too many runners are starting these days and just not learning their bodies because they've got the Garmin. So I'm not saying, and we're not saying run without a watch.
No, absolutely not. I love my watch.
I love seeing the map and, you know, but also don't be wed to it.
Yeah. Don't be wed to the watch telling you how you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know how you're feeling. Yes, the watch will tell you what you've just done in facts and figures, but it doesn't need to tell you how you felt about it.
So, yeah. Alrighty.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Now, if you have any ideas for topics that you would like to talk about, or like we said, any races that you think we should give a crack, or if there are any race directors listening and you'd like us to come along and do, you know, a podcast about your race, just let us know. We'd love to be there.
Yep. So our next race is the Wandy Cross, I think, is the next race.
Yes, it is. For, yes, yes.
Which is early June.
I love that race because, once again, I love the area.
Yeah.
And I love that it's, like, it's completely different to run Terrabogal, which was totally runnable, or quite runnable, except for the slippery bit.
Slippery
bit,
yeah.
This is, like, you know.
This is climbing. This is hardcore mountain climbing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
up, down.
27 Ks with over 2,500 meters climbing. Yeah. So it's solid. So we better do some hill training.
Yes, we are going to have to get into those hills at some point.
Yeah, because like I said, we've been a bit sick. We've had a bit of a life funk. We're getting out of it now, and that's why the pod started again. Or at least I've definitely had one, and you've just, you know, gone along with it.
Yeah. I'm happy for the break.
Yeah. Ron's not used to it. I've been doing this pod for years now, but yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be at Wandi, it'd be great if you came up and said hello to us and told us you love the pod. Mm-hmm. Better yet, get on your preferred podcast listening platform and write us a review. Yes. Then we'll really feel the love.
Yeah.
And we'll even read it out on the podcast. That's what I used to do back in the olden days when I actually got reviews. I would read them out to show my appreciation.
Yeah.
So it would be lovely if you did that. So then we know people are listening and do want to keep listening. And like I said, if you've got any topics, I think you can, certainly on Spotify, I think you can record a question and even maybe record what you think of the pod, how it's helped you maybe.
Yeah.
Let us know how this has helped you.
For sure.
Because that's also what, we don't just do it because we want to entertain you. We actually want to help you.
Yeah. So it is, please, we do try to, you know, instruct as much as we can, you know.
Educate.
Sorry, no, that was the wrong word. Educate.
I demand you stop listening to your what.
We do like to educate.
Yes. So, you know, please do let us know how this podcast has helped you because that's our goal. Anyway, have a great week, whatever time, whenever you are listening to this.
Yep.
And enjoy your running. And whatever you do, keep running.
Keep running. Bye-bye.
See you later.